Portions of KDKR's daily programming do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, is the IRS going to be a bunch of hired guns? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Well, the good thing about live radio, I mean, there's a lot of great things about live radio, but one thing that's not great about live radio is technical problems. And, you know, I tell you what, we're blessed and very fortunate, and I'm incredibly grateful that 99% of the time it works, but just sometimes it just doesn't work, and we have internet issues. So I appreciate your patience. I am supposed to be talking to Dan Pilla, and hopefully he's going to be on the line here in a second. Dan, are you there?
I'm here now, Bob.
You know what, Dan, every time that we decide to do a program together, it seems like we're having internet issues. I wonder if you're bringing
me back.
Well,
it's been the last couple times anyway, Bob. I don't think it's been every time, but the last couple times for sure.
So you bringing me bad luck or what?
I think it's the other way around, Bob. I don't know.
So how are you doing today?
Look, I got to tell you,
okay.
Technology never works for me. So all I had to do was dial the phone number, which I managed to do, and everything else was up to somebody else's hands. So you can't really blame me.
No, I can't blame you. So we'll just call it. It is what it is. You know what's funny is that there was just so much that I wanted to cover with you today. And at the last minute, you sent me an article, the great article that you wrote called Making Choices at the Ballot Box. And I published it on the front page of PrudentMoney.com, so everybody can go see that. And like I said in the email, send this article out to your social media platform, because Dan absolutely nails this article. Talk a little bit about what you're trying to convey in this article, and what inspired you to write it.
Well, I tell you what inspired me to write it, Bob, happened many, many years ago when President Obama was before Barack Obama was sworn in as president, but after the election, when he made his victory speech in the park there in downtown Chicago, and he said, "We're going to transform America." And of course, the throngs of people crowded into the park there in Central City in Chicago, downtown Chicago, right on the park there, right on the lake there, they all went crazy. Yeah, what a great thing. Let's transform America. And I thought to myself, transform it into what? Well, what do we want to transform it from? And then what do we want to transform it to? Because it would seem like to me, Bob, it's, you know, call me crazy, but it would seem like to me that if we want to transform America, we should carefully think about what we're transforming it from and into, and what we're transforming it to, and so I stewed on this for quite a while, and then wrote this article. What the article does is it purports to set forth the fundamental principles of America. What does America stand for? What has it stood for since its creation? And if we're going to change it fundamentally, we need to understand what those fundamentals are. And of course, the fundamentals of America are expressed in the Declaration of Independence, clearly in the second paragraph of the Declaration, where it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these rights are the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." That simple paragraph contains five basic truths, fundamental truths, about what we believe in the United States, what our government is founded on. And so my question, my challenge in the article is, which one of these things you want to change? Do you want to declare that there is no right to life whatsoever, that government or some third party can dictate who gets to live and who doesn't get to live? Do we want to transform the principle that we have the right to liberty, that we are going to transfer to government the authority to dictate every aspect of your life at every turn? Is that what we want to do? And how about the pursuit of happiness? God has ordained every human being, Bob, with unique gifts and talents, and he's put a call on the life of every individual. And we have a responsibility as Christians and a right as individuals, yes, generally speaking, to pursue whatever it is our spirit is enlightened by, as long as it's lawful and peaceful, right? We've got the right to pursue that. So is that the fundamental change we want to make? That some third party is going to intervene in your life and determine what you can do with your life and when and how you can do it? There are political candidates out there running for office that purport to establish government control over every single one of these things, Bob. And I believe that American citizens need to know what our fundamentals are and go to the ballot box and vote to support those fundamental rights, not change them.
You know, it makes me think of the analogy of America going down a road, and we start to veer off to the right or veer off to the left, and
<Yeah.
laughs> and it got darker and it got darker, and then you get to a point where you can still look in the back and you can see the light, and you could turn back around and get back on the road, but then you get to a point where you can't see the light anymore and we're lost.
Right.
And there's no way back. And I wonder, I really wonder if the ship has left the station and there is no way back.
Well, that's a good question. I Bob, choose not to believe that there's no way back. I choose to believe, and I believe there's empirical evidence to support this, that there's
sure.
enough patriotic citizens in the United States of America that first of all, the light hasn't gone out, all right? So let's start with that principle. We are pursuing a dark road. There's no question about that, and it's getting darker and darker with each step we make down that road. There's no question about that either. But the light remains behind us, and the light, in my opinion, is very, very bright. And as long as we still have our Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, and as long as we have fundamental principles of law in operation in this country, the light hasn't gone out. So I'll start there. And then the second thing is, you know, there are patriotic citizens all over America that understand these things that I've written about very clearly, that nothing, you know, this article that I've written, these points that I've made in this article, will come as no surprise to a great number of American citizens. They will say, yeah, that's right, this is what we believe in, and we do not want to vote to change any of those things. And I think as more and more people become educated as to exactly what's going on this dark road that we're on, and you know, with every step that goes by, Bob, more and more people are waking up to the darkness that we are starting to get enveloped in, that I think we're going to have a great deal of pushback here over the next couple of years.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think we will, if we set a date to talk on the radio the day after the midterms, what do you think we'll be talking about?
That's a good question. I really do believe that there's going to be a lot of places around the country where you're going to see pretty substantial pushback to the leftist agenda. I honestly believe, Bob, that in a lot of places, the left has simply gone too far. I mean, we've seen in just one example
right.
that comes very quickly to mind now is the case in California, where the California governor now has signed a law that essentially silences medical opposition, Bob, silences medical opposition to whatever the current current administration declares happens to be the quote-unquote consensus, scientific consensus in medical care. So you got doctors out there in California that legitimately and honestly and professionally believe that people need to zig instead of zag when it comes to their own personal health care. These people can be disciplined and have their licenses removed. So what we have, Bob, is effectively a gag order, a gag order on medical professionals. We're not talking about journalists here. We're not talking about people in their mother's basement with a computer that are in the chat rooms and they're raging on and on about these conspiracy theories. We're talking about medical professionals who happen to be disagreeing with whatever the government says the ordered health care needs to be. These people are now silenced. Bob, they're going too far.
Well, we'll see what ends up happening.
We'll see.
I think one of the things that your article does point out is, A, this is not just another midterm election, and B, there's a whole lot on the line. You got to get out and do your part and vote, however you feel, but you got to get out and do your part and vote.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We have to step up and I like to use the phrase push back, and I say push back where you can, when you can, and how you can. And so if you've got a small group at your church, you know, there's an opportunity to express your opinions about Christian liberty in the context of your small group. If you're on a school board someplace, you've got a tremendously a significant opportunity to push back and stand for principles of Christian liberty and righteousness. You know, if you're in a business environment, we're all in a business environment at one level or another. And you know, there is more or less ability within those contexts to push back and talk about things with your coworkers and so forth. We have to look for opportunities now, and not every situation is conducive to these kinds of discussions. We all know that, but the fact of the matter is, Bob, we have to stop being intimidated about the quote, you know, religion and politics discussion. I think the leftists are the ones that created the proposition that you can't talk about religion and politics because they don't want people talking about religion and politics.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the IRS. Let's shift here for just a second. And there's nothing that stokes fear like the IRS. And you know, you probably get tons of these. I know I get tons of them. It's just ridiculous. All the marketing emails that predict the gloom and the doom. And all you have to do is subscribe to this newsletter and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And of course they concoct just about every possible scenario that you can come up with. And of course, the one that leads just almost daily is about the IRS. And it talks about why did the IRS, and I want you to put this to bed for once and for all for our listeners. Why did the IRS recently spend $700,000 on an ammunition? How can it affect your retirement? A beefed-up IRS flush with 87,000 new employees isn't just looking to stock up on pencil pushers, network administrators, and IT specialists. They are also looking for hired guns. The agency's recent agency listed job openings for their criminal investigation special agent position. That listing stresses that applicants must carry a firearm and will be willing to use deadly force in order to carry out their duties. Maybe that's why the agency purchased 690,000 in ammunition between March and June 2022. And it goes on. You get the idea. Yeah, I know you've seen all this stuff. So we got 4 minutes.
Sure.
Debunk that for us.
Well, first of all, the IRS is not flush with 87,000 new employees. It's absolutely true that the Inflation Adjustment Act is going to give $80 billion in additional revenue to the IRS. You and I have talked about this on the air in the past. Over 10 years, Bob, all right? So that money is coming over 10 years in addition to their ordinary appropriation. So the annual budget of the IRS will about double, and that's going to be true over the next 10 years. So it's absolutely true they're getting the money, and it's absolutely true that they're using a significant portion of that money to hire new workers. It is not true that they're getting 87,000 workers in the next year or even 2 years, because that 87,000 is spread out over 10 years, Bob. And it is also absolutely not true that the IRS is going to, with those 87,000 workers, double its workforce, right? Its workforce right now is roughly 82,000 people. And you say, well, Dan, if they're getting 87,000 more, how's that not a doubling? Well, here's how it's not a doubling, Bob. Over the next 2 years alone, over the next 2 years alone, approximately 25% of the IRS's current employees are eligible to retire. And do you think those federal employees will not retire? Of course they're going to retire. They're going to retire, they're going to take their pensions, they're going to take their money and run. That's what they're going to do. All right, now, in addition to that, we have thousands more IRS workers, you know, six to 10,000 workers every single year, Bob, that quit their jobs and go on to other things for any number of reasons, all right, any number of reasons. Spouse got a new job in another city. I'm going to quit and go over here. I'm going to quit being an accountant for the IRS and go into private practice. You know, whatever. There's probably 150 different reasons people leave their current jobs, right? And so we've got people leaving the IRS every single year, thousands of them. So over the next 2 years, let's say 2 to 3 years, approximately one-third of the IRS's workforce is expected to leave anyway. And so even if the IRS gets all 87,000 workers over 10 years, they're probably going to be in the same position then that they are now. Now, there's a number of other factors that are involved here, and that is this. You know, on the there's about 15 or 16 of the most of the largest government agencies out, federal government agencies out there, right? The Department of Justice and the alphabet soup list of federal government agencies, right? There's about 15 or 16 of them. Well, the IRS is number 6 or 7 on the list of agencies that people want to work for. You know, so they're not on the top of the list that people want to go work for anyway. So they're going to have a difficult time getting recruits, even if they were supposed to get 87,000 over the next 2 years, let's say. It's going to be extremely difficult to get those people. And I'll give you an example of this. The IRS had appropriation. Yeah, the IRS had appropriation in 2019, Bob, to hire 10,000 workers, and they couldn't get it done. All right, so they had the money, they had the call, they could not get those workers hired. So, you know, it's just simply not a situation where they're going to end up with 87,000 workers 2 years from now, new workers.
I tell you what we'll have to do. We'll have to come back to this because there's a lot more in the whole idea of armed agents and buying ammunition. And we will cover it next time. How's that?
Okay. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, Dan, listen, you take care. God bless. Good talking to you as always.
All right. You too, Bob. God bless you.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. As I said at the beginning of the program, thank you for your patience and the grace for the technical difficulties. I wish we'd have more time with Dan. It's a shame because he's got so much good stuff to say. And if you got a question for me, you can go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.